How do you talk to young males about consent? Do you have any tips? Do you have any experiences? If you're a young male yourself, do you find it confusing? Or is it fairly straightforward? Do you have a young guy in your life who is afraid to say the wrong thing? 1-300-222-702 is the phone number. Hunter Johnson is the founder of The Man Cave, which tackles young men's emotional health, and he joins us from time to time. Hunter, thanks for being here again.
Thanks so much, Josh. Great to be here.
What understanding do young people, young men in particular, have about consent at the moment?
Well, it's a particularly potent topic, I think, if we've seen the zeitgeist over recent years, particularly the work that Chanel Contos has done. And for anybody who isn't across it, in about 2021, she did an Instagram poll on her personal Instagram just asking if anybody she knew had experienced sexual abuse or assault from any of the local private high schools. And within a couple of hours, she got 200 signatures, expressions of interest saying, this is something I want to talk about, and then started to document these stories. And ultimately, it ended up blowing out to about 6,000 stories she collected, which then mobilized into a big, big campaign. And recently, there were some laws changed both in all across Australia where mandatory and age-appropriate consent education would be incorporated into the curriculum from 2023, so this year, from foundation years all the way up until year 10. However, this has also gone on at a time where, as we often talk about, Josh, the masculinity conversation and the state of men and the expectations, the changing pressures, as well as a variety of inflammatory role models have also entered into the zeitgeist. So it's made for a particularly interesting time. And largely, you know, we've also seen some pretty negative rhetoric around young men in the media that also gets inflamed by things like certain male role models or personalities in the media that capture a lot of attention and their relationship with cancel culture as well. So there's a lot happening in this space, and it's particularly confusing, I think, for adults trying to catch up on how quick this consent education conversation is moving, let alone, you know, in our context, working with thousands of young men, what's going on for them in schools, but also outside of schools. And largely what we do find is that young men are very supportive of consent. They actually have a real desire to want to know more. They understand the basics, but there's definitely a hesitation and even a confusion around or a fear around saying the wrong thing. And again, this plays into this fear that if they say or ask the question they really want to ask, it may be seen as politically incorrect and they'll be shunned or shamed for it. And also we know that, you know, particular conversations in a, you know, from your school teacher around sex and intimacy and, you know, everything that goes on in romantic settings can be pretty awkward. And so there's a real desire for them to want to have these types of conversations with people who aren't their direct teachers or their direct parents, but are actually younger people, a little bit older than them, who can answer some of the more specific personal questions. So it's a particularly potent topic, as I said, but a real desire for young men to want to do the right thing. But it's the education medium and how it's delivered that I think we still have a little way to go.
1-300-222-702 is the phone number. How have you spoken to young people about consent, especially young males? If you're a young male in high school or in uni, give us a call. How do you understand it? Do you think that it's changed between your parents' generation and your generation? Is this all a storm in a teacup and it's basically fairly straightforward, or is it a little bit delicate and are you anxious about saying the wrong thing when you're in a romantic situation? 1-300-222-702. It does strike me. It's interesting that you mentioned school teachers, Hunter, because, you know, people with strong opinions on both sides of the gender divide can become a little bit myopic and the nuance can get lost, in the sense that I left primary school with a firm belief that I'd inherited from my female primary school teachers that girls don't want sex, that what they want is affection and commitment, and that they'll accede to sex reluctantly, but you have to always make sure that that's in the context of some kind of loving, loyal relationship. And it was a surprise to me to learn that teenage girls can actually want sex without any strings attached, and that was something that spans both sexes. I mean, how do you make sure that there's an injection of nuance when you're talking to people who are at an age where nuance doesn't come naturally?
Yeah, exactly. You know, something like their prefrontal cortex and their decision-making abilities are not fully fledged. And again, that's why it's so important that we have positive and diverse role models around them who can just nudge them in the right direction when they make that inevitable mistake. But also, you know, education that's actually effective and engaging from a really young age, and not just something that's theory-based. I think back to my, you know, the very little education I got about consent education or sex and relationships in a school setting, and it was just, it didn't land. It was, you know, joking at the private words that were used, because that was more entertaining than an actual enrollment and engagement from a teacher or a communicator or facilitator that could actually bring this into the relevance of our day-to-day lives. And you know, I also think, like, we're also in a very different time to when we went to school, with the, you know, social media and the variety of different platforms that young people get rewarded for, likes and attention and follows and business deals for being sexualized younger. And, you know, I saw a very funny video during the week, which was a video which basically had the text saying how teenage girls are now, and they're doing a very choreographed dance, I'll put it that way, and then how teenage girls were when I was a teenage girl. And it's a very dorky, clunky, non-exposing, non-risque dance. And it just shows you again this kind of the inflammation of this, like, over-sexualized world that gets younger and younger. And I say that saying that, you know, young people are way more informed than we ever were when we were younger. But there is still a divide, I think, from what we're seeing with teenage boys around effective education that doesn't make them feel like they're the problem to be solved, or that they're going to grow up and be these perpetrators that will inevitably cause harm. There really needs to be a positive framing of this that also respects the statistics that speak to the fact that men are, you know, likely, if there is sexual abuse, it is likely to be from a male. So it's this delicate, like, we are born into this story and there are an existing narrative here, but we also have a positive opportunity whilst respecting the truth at stake that we can move forward together. And one of the things which we're working on is, which I'm sure we'll get to in a moment, is through a gaming platform where young men are spending a lot of their attention and time teaching consent education through this gaming platform. So really kind of meeting them where they're at through a talk show that brings up some of the topics that they want to talk about, but in a really informative and gamified way.
1-300-222-702 is the phone number. If you have any experiences or questions about discussing consent with young males, Hunter Johnson is with us. His outfit, The Man Cave, tackles young men's emotional health. He joins us from time to time to explore it. Feel free to give us a call or shoot us a text. On the text line, Hunter, Sally in Sydney says, can we please have another government video including a milkshake and a straw? another person named Jim, who signs off as being over 70, says, I reckon this all comes back to having respect for girls and women. My dear dad taught me that. Another person texts in saying, I've never held a girl's hand without asking permission. It's not romantic, but at least it's not predatory. And Fiona says on the text line, my 16-year-old son and his mates are completely clear on what consent means. They think it means stay away. I'm not sure where all this leads, but the communications and presentations they've been given relentlessly over the last 2 years has them believing it's all too risky. At the moment, they've arranged between themselves that they're not alone with a girl, completely focused on equal numbers of girls and boys so that girls can't feel outnumbered. They're really great boys, this woman writes, the ones that a girl's mum would want to meet, but right now the messaging has them feeling it's best just to stay clear. It's very intense for the boys. I can't comment on the female content and messaging. These sessions are held separately. Anyway, it's a brave new world, Fiona writes. What do you make of that, Hunter?
It's a common story. It's really interesting. So Man Cave, our work with young men, the reason we believe is that by creating better young men or good young men in the world, it's not just good for those young men, it's good for their relationships, it's good for our families, communities, future workplaces, future leaders. And because of that, we sit across a few different areas. So we sit across the mental health area, we sit across the prevention of domestic violence or sexual violence or abuse. And so we bring in different types of supporters to support our mission just by nature of where we sit in the problem we're looking to solve. And it's really interesting that I'm now having conversations conversations with very strong, very public-facing feminists who have been fighting for their rights for a really long time, and they also happen to have sons who are in the teenage demographic. And the really interesting conversation we're having is like they're at this kind of conflict going, I fought so hard for these rights for so long to just pull down, you know, the inequalities that exist around me so I can... my sisters, the women in my life, future women coming through can have equal opportunity. However, I'm in this position of conflict where I'm watching my teenage son grow more disconnected, more lonely, more fear, more doubt, and a real lack of confidence, and subsequently is really isolating himself from relationships with other human beings, and particularly in intimate relationships. So it's a really interesting thing that I'm just noticing from who we're speaking to and our supporters. And again, it comes back to our friend who is over 70 years old who, just texted in, of course respect is at the bottom of this, absolutely. And as, you know, many of us know, when we are in intimate settings and, you know, emotions are fly and energies are present and dynamics are at play, it is as simple as respect, but there are also much more specific nuances around this, around, all the things that can happen in a sexual encounter. So it's how do we get in and educate boys again to feel empowered in those environments, but also to be respectful and receptive? And what's the most effective way that we can get educators to connect with those boys? Because that's the gap we need to bridge at the moment.
On the text line, Hunter, and you can give us a call on 1300 222 702 if you've had an experience trying to discuss consent with a young male, or if you remember what it was like when you were a young male, or if indeed you are a young male at the moment, what you make of the conversation around consent and the fear of saying the wrong thing. Hunter Johnson is with us from the Man Cave, where they help young men's emotional health. Alex writes on the text line, G'day Josh, perhaps not so easy for the young, but straight guys could learn a lot from gays. Nothing is assumed in the gay world, writes Alex. Asking someone, what are you into, rather than assuming that sex is first base. Kaz says, Josh, this may seem strange for a grandmother, but I have a wonderful grandson who started into a relationship some months back. We were quietly sitting, and I said, you know that no means no, that respect is very important in a relationship. Must say it took him by surprise, says Kaz, but we had a good talk. Does consent, Hunter, mean that there's always a verbal affirmation, or is there a dynamic dance of assumed... I mean, is that passé now? The idea that there's an unspoken sort of ritual as you're entering into a sexual relationship?
Yeah, listen, I think what we're moving towards is, and I think the other thing I'll say is we're all on this journey too. Like the laws are being introduced, but there are also certain dynamics. Then you've also got the edge of the spectrum, which is certain communities, which, you know, are in the could even be tantric communities or other sexual orientated communities where there are certain rules that are appropriate to the context we're in. But we're just going to speak to this in the mainstream audience now. So the big thing that which the government is trying to bring in after a lot of the advocacy and campaigning is around affirmative consent, which effectively means if someone wants to engage in a sexual act with another person, they must actively gain consent rather than the other person to give their consent. So again, coming back to seeking it and for it to be a continual conversation as the sexual encounter progresses. There's also, I think back to the text that just came in, learning from the gay community. Absolutely. I think there is a huge invitation for this education to be infused with communication in the bedroom, which is, you know, pretty confronting at times. It's not something, you know, for a lot of us, sex is something that's been shamed, or certain upbringings have really kind of demonized intimacy and sex. So it is like a muscle we need to learn to develop in, you know, intimate encounters. And it's having the confidence, belief, and then also seeking the resources around, whether it's on the internet, role models or people you trust, to ask how they deal with certain encounters as well. So again, I just want to bring it back to it's this active thing that we're all working through. There are some universal principles that can, you know, sustain us through those, the path we're on, like respect, you know, clear communication, understanding boundaries, seeking education. But it is live for us as a culture right now.
Is one of the points in this new landscape that it's not about no means no? It is about you have to get a yes. And if so, at how many stages throughout the process do you have to keep getting an affirmative yes? And the ambiguity about whether or not the last yes still continues into this current moment may be fueling some of the anxiety that that last person on the text line was saying her daughter feels, where they throw up their arms and her 16-year-old son says it's just too hard.
Yeah, I don't think they've given us a KPI on how many yeses to get over a certain period of time. I think there is a common sense that they do bring into this, that there is a seeking of a yes, an affirmative active yes, that then can be through conversation, through the intimacy, that is, where appropriate, seeking for that progression into the next step. Also, other laws that were brought in were particularly used around a word called stealthing, which effectively means if the male in this circumstance removes the condom or tampers with the condom without the other person's consent, that's now considered a crime. So, aka taking the condom off and progressing with the act. The other big part of this is around the distribution of intimate images, including, which is deep fake porn. So using the internet to use someone who is, a real person, using the technology of the internet to make it look like that other person is engaged in sexual acts. Mm. So they're really trying to knuckle down on that, particularly as we're watching, you know, the power of artificial intelligence really start to gain momentum.
Yeah, and hopefully that's a no-brainer. I don't think there's any ambiguity. You know, there's no wiggle room there. Just don't do that. Kim's given us a call from Gloucester. G'day, Kim.
Good afternoon. I'm just wondering what role, I'm over 70, what role alcohol plays in consent on either side.
Hunter?
Yeah, well, as we know, a lot of these circumstances that do happen where there is a overstepping of a boundary are often the common, you know, outside of the behaviour itself, one of the fuels to that behaviour is alcohol. So this is, it's particularly prevalent in the conversations that we have, and it's also a big part of the education. And this is probably someone who I'd say is more on the legalities, understands the legalities of the affirmative consent laws. They'd be able to give more indication as to how that plays out in a if it does escalate into a legal situation.
On the text line, one listener says, surely it's just common sense to continue to pay attention to how the other person is behaving, and if they start to look uncomfortable, you'd check in, like during a normal conversation. But is that sufficient?
Isn't that interesting? You know, I think when it comes down to some as simple examples like that, I absolutely agree. And, you know, when we've had conversations with boys, they've said to us, listen, we've been in sexual encounters where, you know, there's been a no, and then that ultimately that's led into a yes, you know. And so this is where we start to get into the messy middle of what's teasing, what's an actual boundary crossed, when does a mind get changed, and when to find the appropriate times to have the communication through out the intimacy. You know, we've also had, from the other side, boys say, well, I'm really worried, or I've got received feedback that when I've tried to have consent in these conversations or speak through it, that it ruins the magic in the moment. Mm. So these are the types of nuances that we're all moving through real time. And thankfully we have, you know, experts who we partner with to ensure that we can support the boys if they find themselves in situations like these.
I mean, it's such a difficult sort of tension, isn't it, between needing absolute recommendations so that you can ensure that, unwanted sexual behaviour or predatory behaviour doesn't take place, so drawing lines in the sand that can be very clear for a young person to understand, but at the same time, not bureaucratising something that's actually quite ineffable and natural and mammalian and human, exactly. You know, by stringing it up with a bunch of logistical rules so that you're outside of the moment and losing all of the point of the activity in the first place. On the text line, one person says, hey, Josh, the failure lies with the fact that an offer of consent can differ from woman to woman and the complexities of courtship. Young men are struggling to understand the sexualization that's present in today's culture and figuring out where a woman lies in that and how to treat or respond to her, one person writes. Another person says, Kylie in Newcastle says, I feel so sorry for young men. I have two teenage boys who've watched their now 18-year-old sister deal with sexual assault repercussions as a young teen. They know that no means no, and they should always respect women. But they're also doubly aware that there will always be a he said, she said situation which could occur. How many times will all young people have to keep asking for consent during a sexual experience? It's taking the spontaneity and passion and intimacy out of relationships, says Kylie. Another person says, if you're in an intimate situation, how is consent recorded, writes Ross. I think young men are afraid of repercussions when it's one person versus another.
Yeah, absolutely. That's totally a dynamic. And I remember one politician, as this was all kicking off, said that it should be recorded. And I think he was met with a bit of an outcry to that response, as I don't think that's on many people's mind to write down to transcribe the conversations and the intimacy.
It's 11:23 p.m.
Yeah, exactly. Dear Diary.
I got my seventh affirmative consent at 11:23.
Yeah, things are tracking well.
A snapshot with your iPhone for the metadata. Yeah,
that's right. You know, and I think the other major thing we've got to bring into this conversation is just the role that pornography plays. You know, it's getting younger and younger. The average age that a young person accesses pornography. We know that, you know, one of the biggest investors into pornography is the artificial intelligence and the, world, as well as like the Oculus Rift glasses and the virtual reality. That's, you know, they're also massive, massive things we've got to keep front of mind is, you're getting on tap exposure for these young people, which, you know, portray things that are completely unrealistic. And the thing I know we've talked about this before, Josh, but the desensitization that happens from overexposure, and then from both parties. So if in this context, if we're talking about men and women in a sexual encounter, the women expect things to be performed in a certain way, or they need to be a certain way, as well as, young men, expecting that they need to embody a certain type of personality or archetype in the bedroom. It just leads to some very, very dark and tricky places. And again, so what can we do about this? We have to humanize this. We have to humanize it through education. But the most important thing, and I've seen this through, you know, the variety of times I've sat down in circles with fathers and sons, or male role models and sons. And when the men share stories around what life is like for their first sexual encounter, and the boys hear about, you know, 25 different stories, it absolutely rocks their world in the most positive way, because they hear real-time human examples of what it was like, what they learned, and what they embodied into their future manhood.
Hunter, you mentioned this this series that you've got going on this gaming platform, which is called Twitch. It's a four-part series next month called Is This Okay? What is it, and how do people access it?
So what we found out was young men wouldn't learn about, from their point of view, they would rather not learn about consent all the time in a school environment. They wanted to learn about it online, as they felt there was just less awkwardness, less friction, and they could really opt in for their own learning journey. And so we have partnered with a bunch of amazing other youth organizations, including AIM, so Australian Indigenous Mentoring Experiences, Minus 18, who work with young LGBTI young people, and then also Elephant Ed, who do sex education workshops in high schools. And we've created this online series called Is This Okay? ? And effectively, it's delivered through the largest gaming platform in the world, which is called Twitch. Kicks off on Thursday, the 2nd of November, which you can get through our website, which I'll say at the end. And effectively, it's a multi-part series where we break down consent, all the nuances of consent, through a live talk show where young men can engage and ask the messy questions behind their computer screen. But it's also gamified through humor, but also real deep conversations too. So yeah, it kicks off in 2nd of November, and the really exciting thing is there's no one in the world who's doing anything remotely close to this. And our whole belief is we have to make this educational as well as engaging. And that's something which the Victorian government has partnered with us, which is a really bold move, I should say as well. It's quite progressive. So they've backed us to get this off the ground, and we're hoping that it can really grow Because as we know, young people are spending more and more of their attention on their devices. So our whole belief is, how do we meet them where they're at and doing it in a way that actually brings them on the journey through invitation, opposed to more of the shame-based approach, which we've seen previously.
Mm. On the text line, Hunter, one listener says, the more we communicate, the easier it is to it is. Stop saying it steals a magic moment, please. Well, I'm not going to stop saying something that people are expressing is a reality for them just because it makes you feel uncomfortable if that's people's actual experiences. Claire says, I'm surprised no one has developed a consent app where both parties have to consent and it keeps a record. Not a bad idea. Maybe put it on the to-do list, Hunter. We're out of time, but it's always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Have a good one. That's Hunter Thompson, who's behind The Man Cave, which tackles young men's emotional health and intelligence around Australia. The Twitch series he was talking about is called Is This OK? If you're in regional New South Wales, Anna Mulder will be taking over with Statewide Drive, also broadcasting into Newcastle this afternoon. In Wollongong, Lindsay McDougall will be with you. In Sydney and the Central Coast, stick around. Heaps more coming up.